plain sight are the mysteries of everyday people. Maybe they stole a car or torched a mall, but like to wrestle in the nude. Or maybe that someone is you. Life for a day, what would you say? What would you say?
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for coming back with us for another This Is You podcast. As always, I am your host, Stephen Cook, along with my co-host, the great Dan Large. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for listening to This Is You podcast. Hi, everyone. The explanation of this podcast is that we just call people that we have never met before. We don't know them and ask them to tell us a story. Steven, you ready for tonight's story?
I am very ready. Who do we got?
All right. Her name is Donna. She reached out to us. She sent us an email saying, hey, I would love to be on your show. So I'm going to call her right now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Hello?
Hey, is this Donna?
Yes.
Hey, Donna, this is Dan Large. This Is You podcast.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hey, listen, could you hold on a second? Because we have another host and I have to kind of merge him into the line. Are you ready?
Sure.
One second. Stephen Cook, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Hey, Stephen Cook, on the line with us is tonight's interview. Her name is Donna. Donna, I would like to introduce you to Mr. Stephen Cook.
Nice to meet you. How are you?
Me too. I'm good. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So on This Is You podcast, we like to give people an opportunity to come on and tell an interesting story from their life. Now, it can be any kind of story you would like. It can be funny. It can be sad. It can be interesting. It can be embarrassing. It can be uplifting. It can be any story that you like. So if you had the opportunity to tell one story from your life, what would it be? So when you are ready, you're going to tell us who you are and where you're from, and then hit us with your best shot.
Okay. My name is Donna Barwald, and I am in Los Angeles, California.
Nice.
And I am probably one of the first people that you'll meet that was a costume character at Universal Studios in Los Angeles.
Oh!
Really?
Absolutely. I was also a cast member, let's say, the Big Cheese, for Disney in New York, but that was short-lived. This is even, this was my midlife crisis.
Okay.
So most people do this when they're young. I actually did do it in my 30s a little, and then it got put by the side. And then as I was turning 50, I thought, you know what, let's go back to doing something I love. So I was in really good shape, and I auditioned, and I got to play the Lorax. That was the first thing I was hired for.
Ah.
So I had huge street cred with my kids. My kids were like six and 9 or 10 at the time. And I worked at Universal Studios, and they could say, my mom is the Lorax. It's when the movie first came out.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I also did Dora the Explorer and Bart Simpson and Lisa Simpson.
Wow, that's a wide range of characters.
Yeah, but then Bart Simpson hurt my head, and it was an old costume, and it didn't sit right, evidently, and I couldn't move my neck, and I had to go on disability, and then when I came back...
Oh, geez.
That's when I realized that that's what did it, was Bart. So I couldn't play Bart, and Dora the Explorer had grown up already, and I didn't fit into her costume anymore. They had aged her, and the Lorax was long over, you know, and there was no other movies coming up that a 4'11" person could actually play, and therefore that was the end of my career. But I had great fun while I was doing it.
Now, Donna, let me ask you a question. This is actually very fascinating. You
So
you played these characters, and obviously you wore a costume. Let's start with the Lorax. Was that the first one that you played?
I think my first day I was doing Dora.
Dora.
So how does Dora the Explorer?
I mean, you said you had a midlife crisis, and you how do you do it? I mean, you just don't walk and knock on someone's door and say, "Hey, I'm going to be Dora the Explorer." I mean, do you have to go through a whole audition process? How does that work? Yeah.
It's an audition process. It's a very long process. When I first auditioned for Disney years ago in the early 90s, I just answered an ad for mice. Actually, it wasn't even mice. It was just a Disney character ad. They hired me, or when they measured me, before they hired me, they measure you first. And you have to be a certain size, of course, to fit the costumes that they have. So they said 4'11", and I said, "What? I thought I was 5 feet tall." He goes, "No, 4'11 is a great height for a mouse." And I'm thinking it's like, you know, Gus from Cinderella or something. It didn't even occur to me that it was Mickey Mouse. But it's a very long audition. They have you do a lot of things and movements and improv and all kinds of stuff. And then they narrow it down and narrow it down. And pretty soon everybody's going home. And you're one of the, you know, few people who get to stay. And when I did it at Universal, I actually auditioned for Universal when I first moved to Los Angeles from New York, and I got hired, but I got cut again before they even fit me for costumes because they hired too many people. So I felt bad about that all this time. So I'm nearing my 50th birthday. I'm trying to like do-overs, right?
Yeah.
Anything that I had a resentment against or felt I didn't get a chance to do or anything like that. Plus I had two kids at home, and I was feeling like, you know, mom, and my life is over, and what can I do for fun, you know? And so I went to this audition, and it was in the spring, and they just had us doing all these different things. And at the time, I didn't even know what characters were still at Universal. You know, they change all the time, and I hadn't been to Universal Studios in 100 years.
Sure.
So eventually they narrow it down and narrow it down, and it's a very long day, and then they bring you back, and then you get, you know, chosen, which was really wonderful. So they have certain sizes in mind because you have to be a certain size to play different characters.
Well, you know, I'm stuck on that. I know that you're a certain size, but they had you do more. What other things did they have you do that you kind of caught their attention? Well, I mean, go ahead.
Sure. When you're in a suit, of course you can't talk. So everything you do and communicate has to be done very big to translate out of the suit, basically. So every single thing has to be extremely animated. That's I guess, the word, but that's my personality to begin with.
Okay.
So everything has to be very big and broad, and you just do things to be very playful. Right? And you think of inventive things. In fact, I was so playful that on my first day as Dora, I got somebody to buy me a cotton candy. That was not my intent and completely against the rules. And that's how I started my very first day. I thought I was going to be fired. But, you know, there were no kids around, and there was only like a dad waiting on a bench for a kid to get off a ride. So I go up skipping like I'm Dora, and I say, you know, not say, but I look at him and I point to the stand, to the concession stand or whatever. And I rub my tummy and I, you know, rub my hands and I ask, "Please." And you can just imagine like what my hands are doing and everything. And he actually went over and bought one for me. And I'm like, what do I do now? Because clearly I can't eat it. And I have to be able to play. What am I going to do with cotton candy? And I can't get the costume sticky. Luckily, they have a handler with you, a PA, who goes out with you and watches over you so that kids can't attack you and bring you in when it's time, because you have no idea how long you've been out there. And there's very strict rules of how long you can be out in based on what temperature it is. Anyway, but you act like the character before you even have a character costume on, and they can see what you would be like. And if you're entertaining, then that's how you get hired.
What kind of experience did you have in if any, with you know, were you an actress, or did you do improv? Like what kind of experience did you have before you decided to audition?
Well, I grew up singing and dancing in musical theater. Mm-hmm. And I would consider myself an actress, a comedic actress who sings and moves well, is how I would describe it. But I hadn't done any of that in ever. And when I decided to go try out for Universal this time, you know, as a midlife crisis, I then got and I got hired. I'm like, oh. Okay, well, maybe I could be good at this again at this age. Let me see. And I then got pictures and resumes and started sending them out and doing some student films and things like that. But it was just my training, you know, early on. Plus, I was a teacher. I've been a lot of things, but I was a teacher. I was a Girl Scout leader. I played with kids, and I was a mom by that time. So I really played with kids. Not everybody has the same experience or level of interest. And I'll tell you, it didn't pay. I mean, it was $10 an hour. It didn't pay anything.
That was one of my questions. Wow. $10 an hour.
It was 11 years ago, and it's a union job because everybody who works at Universal Studios has to be in a union. So no matter what job you're doing, there's a union that covers that. So this union is called American Guild of Variety Artists, and they're really good. I mean, they negotiate that when it's a certain temperature, you are only out for a little bit of time, and then you spend the rest of your time in the break room. And then if it goes above another temperature, you're out even less. And all of that, they take care of you, and you can't work this many hours, and you always have to have somebody protecting you. For example, if you were to be at Disneyland, you don't get the protections. The costume characters, at least back then, and this was like 11 years ago, weren't in a union. And so they were out there on their own. I mean, people could mob them or maul them or, you know, tease them or do whatever, and they had no protection. So our union protected us, which was great. It is hard work. It's physical work, and you're sweating completely the entire time. So you have to be comfortable sweating, you know. And if you've ever been to Los Angeles, Universal Studios Hollywood is basically like being in the valley. And the valley is 10 degrees hotter than Los Angeles itself because you get the, you know, the breeze or whatever. But there is no breeze. It's most of the time around 100, 105, 110, it could get in the summer.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's really hot. So, you know, I was doing it in the spring and the summer and into the fall. And as it got to the winter again, I think that's when I had to call it quits.
Hey, you were making $10 an hour. What about your handler? How much were they making?
Well, probably the same. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. They were in a different union. But being a character was like everybody wanted to. But the better characters were face characters. And always, if you're a face character and you don't have a head and you can actually talk, they expect, you know, there's more of a performance going on. So you get paid more. But, you know, I got what I got. And but I wasn't doing it for the money. It's just so much love coming at you. The entire time, it's everybody's in a good mood. They're all playing. Nobody's upset. Everybody just wants you to interact with them. It's not like you're trying to sell them something that they don't want, you know. And so you get a lot of love, and it's just fun. And so, yeah, that was my midlife crisis.
I was wondering, you're the first person that I've ever talked to who has done something like this, and I've automatically assumed, and I'm not trying to be silly here, that there was a gag order on, like, you can't talk about it, you know, once you're done with this.
If you're a cast member at Disney, you're never supposed to say anything more than you're a cast member. So I can't
I've heard Disney is notoriously very, very difficult to work for.
So I can't tell you, they don't want to spoil the magic, you know. So that's why I say I'm the big cheese, and, you know, you can figure that one out. You know, I'm the leader of the, what is it? The leader of the pack that's made for you and me, or something like that. That's from the TV show theme song. But But anyway, yeah. But now, you know, the characters at Disney, somehow, I don't know how, they have it so they talk. I don't get it. I just don't understand it. But in certain places, I guess you can actually talk to costume characters. So, but not Universal, or maybe now. I have no idea. I haven't been there in a long time. We had season tickets for my kids when I was working there, so that, you know, if I had to babysit, if my husband couldn't watch them that day, I'd be able to just bring them to the park and say, here, go hang out, you know, on the mummy ride, or, you know, do whatever it is you do.
How close did you guys live to the park?
We actually lived pretty close. Are you still there?
Yes. Are you there, Stephen?
Oh, okay. It just went.
I'm here.
Yep. Oh, good. It just went very quiet for a second. We actually live pretty close. We're in the valley, so we're, I don't know, 7 miles maybe or less. If there's no traffic, which of course there is never no traffic, it takes, you know, 15 or 20 minutes to get there. But most of the time it takes, you know, 45 minutes to get there. And then where you have to park, you park in a parking lot, like far away from everybody, and then you have to walk through all of Universal City Walk. So if it's crowded that day, you know, you have to go completely through the City Walk and to get to the entrance of where your where the performers go, and it's just takes a lot of time. So yeah, you can't be in a hurry to do anything else. But most of the time, people are just young kids. And you know, I had to keep in very good shape. I was in very good shape at the time, which is the only way I could do it. And they were all, you know, staying out late and getting drunk and partying and whatever. And in the morning, they'd be, you know, wiped out on the couch. And I'm thinking, you guys, people pay a lot of money to come to Universal. So if you're not giving your best performance, I would be mad at, as a parent, I'd be really upset. But they used to laugh at me when I'd be doing like some crunches and some stretching and doing all these push-ups and things like that to, you know, to get warmed up. And they would laugh at me. And I say, you know, at your age, exercise is optional. At my age, it's mandatory or I can't move. So,
sure.
Yeah. But most of the people are young. You can't expect that they're
Any celebrity sightings?
Lots of celebrity sightings. Let me think if I can think of who exactly was there at the time. Oh, you know, in LA, you see celebrity sightings wherever.
It's just a common day. You could walk and get a cup of coffee and you'll see a celebrity.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody. I live where the Kardashians live. Not in Hidden Hills, but that neighborhood. So my mall is their mall, you know, and
yes.
I've never seen a Kardashian, but, you know, I've been on the edge of lots of people, and trying to think of who I actually met that any of your audience would be excited about, because there's a lot of people that I get excited about, but, you know, but as I was working, no, but the fun part when you're working is when your friends come. And they don't know, or people that you know, and they don't know that you're in there.
Yeah.
You somehow have to clue them in on, or pantomime, or do something that you're actually the one that day. So,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so I remember groups of friends coming, and, you know, so that was kind of fun, you know, because you knew when that was going to happen. Mm. Anyway, or you never knew when that was going to happen.
Donna, tell us about you now. What's going on in your life now?
Ah, well, I'm a professional organizer, actually. My kids made it, or my younger kid made it, so that I couldn't very well work anywhere. They were very needy. I keep getting calls from the principal's office. We didn't know that my youngest kid was autistic. Mm. It just looked like ADHD and very badly behaved. And so it made every kind of job I tried to do impossible on a schedule, like if I was working for somebody else, because, you know, if they had to call me in. And, you know, one time I was working and my kid was on the playground acting crazy or something and got a concussion. And so I had to race home and see what's going on there. So the only thing I could think of doing at the time, I could set my own hours, was being a professional organizer. So that's what I am. And I wrote a book this last year. It came out. This is like the first year anniversary. My book is called "This Mess Is Making Me Stress: How to Organize Your Home and Find Peace." So, So I've been busy promoting that.
Hey, listen, we're going to wrap this up, but I want you to plug that book one more time. Make sure the listeners know your last name. I mean, you said it in the beginning, but I just wrote down Donna, and I didn't write down your last name. But could you just give a plug for your book, and then I'll get in touch with you in the future and let you know when this drops.
Great. My name is Donna Barwald. My company is called Neatly Arranged, so you can find me at neatlyarranged.com.
Okay.
My book is called "This Mess Is Making Me Stress: How to Organize Your Home and Find Peace." But you can just put in "This Mess Is Making Me Stress" and you'll find it on Amazon or any online situation. And if you forget the name of the book, if you remember my name, Donna Barwald, just Google me and I'm everywhere and you can get to all of that. And if you want to know any more funny stories, I got plenty of them. Ask me about the dolphin pool, how I fell into the dolphin pool at SeaWorld. Good one. I do things. Things happen to me that don't happen to anybody else. And I have a very funny life, and a lot of hardship too, with as a mother. But these are the more fun stories to tell. So.
Well, Donna, a.k.a. the Lorax, or Dora the Explorer, or let's see if I wrote the Bart Simpson.
Mickey Mouse.
Right. Mickey Mouse. Thank you for being on This Is You podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. This was really fun.
Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Steven, that was Donna.
She sounds fun. And, definitely... you have to have a certain personality to do that job. You know, that's that job is not for everybody.
It is not for everybody. You're absolutely right. You know, when she was talking, I think, those people who are actors and performers, I'm sure that they probably thought about doing something like that in their lives. And the only thing that if I was to do something like that, I could not be a character in this big costume with a big head on.
That's a no-go.
I could not do that. I would have to be someone with like a face, and I would have to talk. That's the kind of person I am.
Although, I got to say, when she was talking about her life and being, singing and dancing and musical theater and all this, I was like, geez, this is like your kindred spirit here.
Yeah.
Doing performance and being a character and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's right up your alley.
And I love I love what she said, that, the one thing she really liked about the job was it's all like, instant love, so to speak. When the kids come in and the adults, when they come in and they see the character that they love, they just kind of shine and like, there they are. This is wonderful.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, I every time I go to somewhere like that with my kids, and I see the people that are doing that, I'm just like, boy, we need people like that, but it couldn't be me. Well, I just,
Well, here on the East Coast, and I don't want to give an intentional plug, but Sesame Place, we would go, and at the there's like every 3 hours they have a parade down Main Street.
Yes, I remember.
And I was there not more than 2 years ago, and with like three children under the ages of 8, and their faces just light up. It's just awesome. It's really, really cool.
And it's funny too, because like when you have your grandkids, I have my kids, but and when they're, maybe you've had this experience, when they're a certain age, it may be like 2, 3, they love the characters, but when they see the characters close up at the park, especially Sesame Place, because I remember my daughter saw Big Bird, who was like, 9 feet tall in that costume, and freaked out.
Yes.
So like, so at like 2, 3, they're like, I love you, but you're scary to me right now. And then, you bring them back when they're maybe 5 or 6, and they're digging it. They would just jump into their arms if they could.
For those of you who've never been there, there is a like a room where Big Bird is, and you have the opportunity to get your picture taken with Big Bird. So that means that you would have to stand or sit right next to Big Bird. And I've seen exactly what you're saying, Stephen, like kids freaking out a little bit. Because, you know, obviously Big Bird is big, but, you know, you can only imagine in their brains going, oh, this is real, or, you know, what, you know, it must be a crazy juxtaposition, which is a hard word for me to say. But it's great.
Yeah, it's really weird. And you would think, like, you know, obviously, you know, Big Bird's bigger than the other characters, but it's got to be, that suit has to be like their eye, the person who's playing the part, their eyes have to be like in Big Bird's midsection.
Yes.
And then the rest of it is just up high, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's got to be 7 feet tall.
Yes.
And it, yeah, and can definitely be, you know, overwhelming for a little kid. But man, when they're into it, they just go nuts.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, Donna. Thanks for sharing your story. Stephen, I'll let you take us out like we always do.
Thank you so much for being here again for another This Is You podcast. We want to hear from you. So if you have a story to tell and you want to come on This Is You podcast, hit us up at thisisyoupodcast@hotmail.com or find us on Facebook. And hopefully we will see you in the future. Be well, and we'll see you on the next one.